So you can tell I'm not alone. The queen is back in the house, and I'm so glad to have her here. How are you?
I am very well. I'm very well. It feels like winter just don't want to let us go.
It doesn't want to leave.
And but also in the spiritual sense of things,
yeah,
man.
Because
I mean, what we're experiencing in the natural, I feel that it's happening in the spiritual realm. Just when we feel like, okay, no, we can now relax, then something happens.
Yep.
And maybe that is God's way of saying, be on your guard all the time. Don't relax, because certainly, I mean, we can see with our natural eyes that there are things happening around us. So we need to be on guard.
Yeah.
We would love to go on vacation, but I don't think spiritual vacation is something that we can we can't afford that now.
Yeah.
But I am well and happy and content and so blessed to be alive.
And beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Even you.
Oh, thank you. It's always an honor to have you here. It always is. I mean, you've been away for the longest of time. Your people were like, where's Liesl? I'm like, hold on, she's coming.
It's,
you know,
it's been the longest minute. Oh, man, really. It actually felt like I was taking a whole new drive to Muizenberg this morning. So it has been. And I held my sister Sake just like a little bit longer today. She gives the best hugs, guys. Again, if you're in need of a hug, you need to come in and just like hold her.
Yeah. Oh,
it's like a painful liquor hug.
Oh, wow. I love it. So today we are talking about a woman's worth. So powerful. Now, throughout the centuries, you know, women have always played an essential role in saving souls and defending the kingdom of God. Whilst, you know, the landscape has changed, it is evident that the weight of responsibility is as great as it can ever be. It is Women's Month. And while we're celebrating our womanhood, in today's conversation, we want to zoom in just a little on our spiritual identity in Christ to recalibrate our own awareness of God's perpetual promise to us as His daughters. As His daughters.
Oh, I love that.
Sure.
As His daughters.
Sure. Now, sis, now that you're here, you know, we want to understand, we're speaking about a woman's worth. What are the role of women in our society? Do we even know the roles that we need to play?
Sure. The question in itself is very vast, so which means the response can also be very, there's an array of answers that I can give on that. But I want to take it back to home. I remember as a child growing up, I was well aware when my mother was not in a good space. And only after years, I mean, after I got my own children, I realized that a mom, a woman, a wife, a woman, a sister, we influence the atmosphere of our house.
Sure.
If my mom was not in a good space, then we obviously felt the emotions and a response was in like manner. But if there was joy in her heart, the house was just, my friends wanted to be there. Everybody everybody wanted to like just sap in whatever happiness she felt in her heart. So I think it's very important. That's the first important point that I think the role of we as women are.
Yeah.
When God created everything and when he came to man, he looked at everything that he created and he said, it is good. So God created us as women. His daughters as something good, meaning that if there's something good that He's created us with, we need to give good back to the world, in our homes, amongst our friends. So that is just one thing. I think we influence the atmosphere with what it is that we bring into a room. Second thing is we generation carriers. I think that we know we carry generations in our bellies, and when we see our children, in fact not just our children but anybody that God connects us to, we see we call it a skill. There's something that you do that makes you stand out. We identify it. So because we carriers of generation. We yeah. will identify when a person needs to step into something. Sure. Those are not just like a by the way type of strength mm. to have, my sister queen. Sure. If you see it, then it means there is a response that you need to give to what mm. you're seeing. Then there's a responsibility. So we are generation carriers, not just in our own home, in society as a whole. Meaning that if we see somebody and the Lord gives us a message yeah. to a complete, for a complete stranger, mm-hmm. we need to be obedient, because again, we are generation carriers. The word that we have in our mouths mm-hmm. is what that person needs to receive. Oh. And love, mm. and as that person receives and loves the word that you give out of obedience, he or she will then also nurture generations. And sure. I don't want to forget, I mean, there's so many that I can say, but I want to add the following also. Do you know that we are watchmen also? We are watchmen in our homes. Mm. Spiritually, we are so sensitive to when yeah. things are not right. Mm-hmm. It is not a sixth sense. We call it, it's a sense. It's not a sixth sense. Yeah. It is a spiritual awareness. We are so tuned in to what God wants to show us. And if our spirit feels unsettled, then it means there's something mm-hmm. that needs to be out. Mm-hmm. If your spirit is unsettled, yeah. then it means you need to either separate yourself. So as the watchman, there's a responsibility on us as women, as a generation sure. carriers, as his daughters, to ensure that we do what we're needing to do. When we see, we need to sound the alarm.
Mm.
We need to sound the alarm, and if we sound the alarm, we need to be ready for battle. So we are then strategically, we need to apply ourselves. And I want the woman to understand yeah. that these are inherent traits that God has put into us, sister mm-hmm. queens. God has placed it inside of us, but we need to receive it and believe it for ourselves mm-hmm. in order to live it, and live it so the word that I want to use, so full of life.
Yeah.
Life, livelingly.
Mm. yeah, it's a word today. Today it is a word.
live it fully.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that when you live and you walk in that word that the Lord has given you as a watchman, then you will know what you're needing to do when it happens, because watchmen are sharp in what they see.
Sure.
And they make sound the alarm, and they also then do the necessary things in terms of praying and calling whoever needs to fight with battle in battle as well. So, and I mean, those are just three. I don't want to leave the last one, because I think we are also leaders, we are ministers, we yeah. are teachers. Mm. When we teach our children, we don't just teach our children, we teach those who we mentor, mm-hmm. those whom we coach. And I'm talking both corporately and spiritually. As women, we have experienced certain events in our lives. Mm. And because we've experienced certain events in our lives, we are qualified to talk about those topics.
Yep.
If we're going to remain quiet on the things that we are experienced in, then it means knowledge stays suppressed. And if knowledge stays suppressed, and it means wisdom is not being shared. And if wisdom is not being shared, then another sister, another daughter, another young girl is going to walk in the same mistakes
yeah.
that you have already those warning signs for, because yeah. you've lived through it. So we need to
sure.
just 4 points, but that is the role that woman plays. We yeah. we need to step into it.
Sure, we play a lot of roles. And I quickly want to go back to the one that you mentioned, that we are watchmen, you know, and you mentioned that it's not a sixth sense that a lot of people say that we have, you know. It's being spiritually tuned, as you mentioned, and being able to feel if there's a change, and you get to sense it, you yeah. know. It recently happened to me. I was on a coffee date with, you know, one of my colleagues last week. I was like, listen, I'm not liquor, man. I'm not feeling liquor. It's not physical. It's more spiritually and mentally. I'm just not nice.
Not
but
nice.
I can't put a finger yeah. to yeah. as to what it's
yeah.
happening.
Yeah.
Up until the Lord confirmed it with my aunt this Saturday, I was like, God, you know?
Sure.
So I truly, truly attest to what you're saying, that really we are truly watchmen, you know, and God has given us all of those traits so that we can tap into them and start leading and ministering and teaching and
correct. Sure. I want to touch on what you just said now. You were describing a spiritual heaviness. Mm-hmm. Now you get a spiritual burden and you get spiritual heaviness. And a spiritual heaviness is a demonic spirit that wants to take from you, wants to draw from you, mm-hmm. wants to distract and wants to weigh you out. And when you feel it, it's that feeling like you're restless. Mm-hmm. You know, you become restless. And understanding the difference between the spiritual heaviness and a burden is important, because a burden is that thing when the Lord has laid somebody mm-hmm. on your heart and you don't do what you're supposed to do, then you're disobedient. Then there's a burden on you mm-hmm. because the instruction came from the Lord. Yeah. Heaviness is when you feel like, no, but everything is, it's wrong. Yeah. We need to make it right. Mm-hmm. And then it's warfare, spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. And if you have your Elizabeths around you, sure. then you need to call in your army of Elizabeths mm-hmm. so that they can pray with you and support you in prayer for what it is that you need to break through spiritually.
Sure. Now, moving right along, how can, you know, we as women capitalize and also tap in on our birthright for greater impact?
Sure. Tapping on our birthright, I think, requires an action. When we speak tapping, it's an action needs to happen. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we are God's children. So that gives us a royal lineage.
Yeah.
I am a queen. You are a king. So we understand that. But it's not just about the title. It's mm-hmm. not a, it's the responsibility that's attached to it. So when we need to tap into our birthright, it means every space that the Lord has placed you, my sister queen, whether it's at home. Yes, you set the atmosphere, but you guess, you know what? You also set the atmosphere at your office. So you can't be pregnant with joy and sadness at the same time. Mm-hmm. You need to feed whichever baby you want to give birth to. So if you step into an atmosphere and there's a spirit that is operating in that office, and you know it's opposing the culture and the character that the Lord has placed inside of you, the intent needs to be to dominate. We have dominion. We need to subdue and we need to conquer everything that is in our way of living and revealing, I think, God's kingdom to the world. Mm-hmm. We are the living kingdom. Mm-hmm. You and me, my sister queen. Sister queen, you listening, you are the living kingdom. Yeah. So where you are at work, amongst your friends, make the right choices. I'm going to talk about that. So it's often when we have conversations, and in conversations, there's a comfort attached to it. But sometimes conversations get out of hand, but you're not maybe the initiator of a conversation. Yeah. But if your spirit is unsettled, be bold enough to say, I'm not comfortable with it. And if the circle is too big and there's too many ladies and you don't want to maybe offend the person publicly, because, you know, correction needs to happen in private, mm-hmm. then walk away. Yeah. But then address that thing that you felt in that moment. Because many times when we have these conversations, if a conversation doesn't do the person any justice, meaning it's like a method of a type of slander. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to become part of it. Step away, make the right choices. Yeah. So for me, I think the responsibility that we have as women, and if you want to capitalize on your birthright, if God said what he created was good, and although we live in a world that is not that good, and mm-hmm. you're confronted with all these bad and evil movements and, you know, attacks that is constantly in distractions, you need to be the good amidst the bad. Mm-hmm. And it's not an impossible thing. The Bible is filled with evidence of women that wanted to be the good amidst the bad. Mm-hmm. Even a woman called Rahab. I mean, she was a prostitute, but then when she heard about the Lord, she chose to believe him as her savior. And she became a strategic person in terms of freeing the people and her own family and her bloodline connected to Christ. So it's never too late for us to step out of the bad that we were associated to, because that's the thing. Sometimes we don't do it, but we associate it to it.
Diesel was part of that circle.
Correct.
Yeah.
If you're the fifth person in a circle of slanderers and gossipers,
then you are one too.
That's right.
Yeah. Sure. Sure, a truth that we do not like to hear, but it's the truth.
It's the truth, yes. The truth. I think we need to be, we need to normalize saying, I don't want to be part of this conversation. Mm. Or normalize a case of you standing up and actually removing yourself from a conversation.
Yeah.
And then later maybe speak to the person who was the initiator of the event, let's call it an event. Mm. But we cannot be watchmen and be part of the bad that is happening around the city. Because then the walls of the city becomes weak and we're not in our place. As queens and as God's daughters, the responsibility is for us to be in our position so that we can do right by God.
Yeah, sure. We need to assume our positions. Now, you know, considering certain limitations with regards to our spiritual influence, what are some factors that could restrain or limit that spiritual influence?
Good. I'm going to call it the layers. We need to, it's the layers of inadequacy.
Mm.
And it's a self-imposed layer sometimes that we place on ourselves, especially, I'm speaking specifically to a woman who's already in ministry as an example. And oftentimes we measure and compete ourselves against another person. Mm. You know, we may be new in ministry,
yeah,
and how we do things is so different. So we often place these layers. I'm not adequate enough. I'm not as skillful as that person. I can't do that. So because we feel that we can't, we don't. And the reality is, whatever God has placed upon you, sister queen, that is your unique style of doing things, whether it's conversation, whether it is how you approach people, how you connect with people. That is your style.
Yeah.
Flow in it. Stay in your lane, flow in it. Don't try to be like anybody else. I'm going to make an example. Over the weekend, I was invited to speak at Toastmasters. And Toastmasters is very, you know, very rigid in their approach and how they approach things and when they do the presentations.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm vibrant. I speak as the Lord leads. I use a little bit of Afrikaans words.
Yeah.
And so I just flowed in what the Lord was telling me to do, because there was a second where I felt, oh my goodness, I need to adjust my presentation. I need to speak the way they speak. But I needed to be exactly the way God wanted me to be, and the impact was great. And lives were changed.
Sure.
I didn't preach, but I gave glory to God on a platform that is not normally a religious platform. So I think we need to remove the layers of inadequacies that we create in our own minds. And then also watch your load. We spoke about it earlier on. If your load is connected to a spiritual burden and you feel, I wish I should have, why didn't I do that? If the Lord gives you a word or an instruction or something that you need to do, that's a burden. You need to do it because there will be a reaction after that. But if there's another load that is a heaviness, what is the cause of the heaviness? Is it something that happened in your heart? What is the condition of your heart? Did somebody hurt you? Were you disappointed? Did that disappointment breed and actually hurt the condition of your heart? The rhythm is out? Or is it something else that is placed on top of you? Understand that, because we have the spiritual awareness to differentiate between the two. Or get yourself a spiritual mentor.
Okay.
And then also choose your crowd. I think very important.
Yeah.
Those are, if you're in the wrong crowd, then it unfortunately influences how you think, because crowds can also distract.
True. You are who you surround yourself with, right?
Totally.
Now, how can we as women, you know, navigate our way through and also out of displaced confidence? You know, because at times, maybe if we are in that circle and you know this is not a conversation that you want to be part of, and you're just running short on the confidence side to be able to say, hey, let's stop it, or just removing yourself. How do we then navigate our way through out of a displaced confidence?
I think my response might sound easier than what it actually is, but I think the key for me in everything that I could see the hand of God on was connected to obedience. That the minute I felt something was not right, I would be obedient to what God wanted from me in that moment. And oftentimes, obedience makes everybody else around you uncomfortable. It means that you need to choose which path are you then going to? Are you going to go the route of being, you know, satisfying people, a people's pleaser? Sure. Or are you going to do the right thing according to what God, your Father, has taught and instructed you to do?
Yeah.
So for me, it is to get into the position called obedience. I'm going to call that a position. And a position called obedience speaks of that even when your character's under attack and people start talking things about you, your colored person, you know, will lead you. Because I mean, I think as colored woman and as in fact, let me not put a race attached to it. As a woman, we have mouths and we can run them.
Yeah.
So immediately we will respond what an emotion, but the reaction often does more damage. A reaction does more damage. So what we need to do is to remain humble even when we are under attack, and allow the Lord to tell us when and how that we don't react, that we rather respond. Okay, there's a difference. And then also, kindness when treated badly, I think it's connected to the whole humility part. Be kind when you're being treated badly, because it is a fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be obedient to God, if it then means you need to picture God what you in the room all the time,
do it.
Because then it creates a kind of reverence. That is what I do. I would rather than be obedient to God. Sometimes I want to say certain things to defend myself, but I will probably do more harm than good. So picture God in the room and be kind even when you are under attack. And then, you know, serenity when you're in a crisis. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have the symptoms of what the crisis does to your body and your mind, but understanding, knowing that God is with us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in order to feel His peace, you need to make time to feel His peace.
True.
I want to actually say that again, because in the busyness of life, when we're in a crisis, we don't take time to receive God's peace.
Mm-hmm.
And if it means you need to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, my sister Queen, do that to spend time with God to get His peace, so that you will have His peace with you in the midst of that war that is happening in your life. And certainly it changes things. Yeah. Also, forgiveness when deeply hurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can tell you now, I ministered on heart surgery, that we say with our mouth, "I forgive you." But I realized for myself after the words were uttered that I had a spiritual lethargy. Let me explain that. I moved slower with my responses in obedience. If the Lord gave me an instruction, I would first like, I wonder if I should do it now. I don't know whether I'm doing it right. I would question it. So it got done, but the response was slow. I would not get up in the morning to go pray because I was just so tired. If you recognize that you have spiritual lethargy, then it means there's something wrong with your spiritual heart. And unforgiveness does that.
Sure.
And unforgiveness is caused by disappointment and hurt and somebody who said something or an event that has happened. So also, I think lastly on that, how we can navigate our way through, you know, getting back our confidence is, you know, courage to continue when you actually don't feel like you want to.
Because I know that.
Courage to continue. So even if you continue, even if you continue doubtfully, doubting whether you are doing it right, if the Lord has laid it upon your heart, then you do it. Courage to continue and serving even when people are saying bad things about you. Courage to continue speaking what the Lord has laid upon your heart, even though society is saying your name and there's no honor attached to it. Courage to continue because your obedience to God requires that from you, and the responsibility of whomever needs to hear what you have to say, the weight of the responsibility actually rests on that, because that person's life can be radically changed if you step into what it is that you're needing to do.
Yeah, sure, to continue even though you are tired. Ah, my goodness, to love, to continue loving, even though you've been, you know, hurt over and over and over again. Sure, sure. A message here from a number ending in 8374. There's no name attached because I'm pretty sure it's not Heavenly Boutique.
Yeah.
It says, morning, amen. I love this interview. The lady speaking to me, I'm pregnant and I'm not happy in my workplace because it's toxic. And you can feel the enemies here, that how nasty management is with us working under them. I'm praying that my husband get a call soon, as it is our dream of having our own business in construction. God is telling me not to give up. It will happen with time. Sure. And I spoke to someone this morning and it might happen sooner than I think, because we have been obedient long enough. And he tells me every day, this is not for me, and he's got something better.
I think Heavenly Boutique, the owner of Heavenly Boutique, whoever you are, I think you've said it. God has been talking to you, and you've been obedient, and you could feel the toxicity that was happening in the workplace. Very importantly, that you continue living the characteristics that God placed in you, which is his characteristics, because we are made in God's image. And that is the thing that needs to counsel us when we feel like we want to react. But we need to respond in the character that God has placed upon us.
Yeah, prior to response, what would God say, or what would God do? Yeah, you know?
Let's bring that back. What would Jesus do? I think it's such a relevant statement, especially now. Don't join the crowd when you see that there's ignorance attached to it. If you see that the intention of whatever has been started is not pure, if it is not building, then it's not good, because God has called us to give love. Yes, we give correction, but we correct private, not public.
Sure. Before I let you go, Kenny's in the house. Kenny Bosley.
Oh, my sister queen.
She's saying, tune in and hanging on to every word. Morning, queens.
Liffies.
Thank you so much. Coming through from number ending in 6166. It reads as follow. Hi, Liesl. Such a needed topic. Comparison kills your sound.
You.
Sure.
Siobhan.
Sure.
Sure.
And cause a sinful competition with believers, and we end up diminishing the finished work of the cross because we cannot see the fullness of who God called and created us to be. Wow, love, love, love this topic.
I think Sister Savannah said it all.
Yeah.
Who God has called and created us to be. Called and created us to be. So we have been created and we are called for a specific mandate. And yes, all around us are these events happening, and we need to see it for what it is, as watchmen, spiritual watchmen, queens. We need to see it for what it is. It's to distract you. It's to delay what God wants to do. And if you're going to keep on focusing on what is happening around you, you're not going to see the potential of what can happen if you step into that position called obedience. Don't compare.
And what message was that, the message that you'd like to leave the queens with today, or do you have something else?
I think you
unpacked a lot today.
I think so much has been said already, but I think for me the important part is that we need to step. There's a statement that I often make is, make a left turn and come right. And sometimes I say it with a joke, but I think it's important for us to get into position. Get into position of the responsibility of what your obedience can do. And your obedience and doing what God has called you for, your own unique, authentic sound, do that. Because the worth is already inside of you. And take everything else. Cut it out. Move away, separate yourself, make sure that you are aligned to what God wants from you. And that is it.
Sure, and that is it. That is it. Liesl, sister, thank you so, so much. Where can our people find you?
So you can connect with me on Kins Sukeroy Consulting. It's my Facebook and Instagram pages. Or Liesl Snayman. That's Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Fantastic. Linda is saying, thanks for the confirmation, Liesl.
Ah, Glenda. Oh, that woman does the best retreats, eh?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You are the queen, Glenda. Princess, thank you so much for your time. And I mean, according to what we are receiving on WhatsApp, and I believe those who also cannot write in, I believe that, you know, they receive the word and it is working in them for the good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
To God all the glory. You are worthy, Sister Queen.